Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning, good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's, it's good to have you with us. And here we go. Live on YouTube. To make you co-host. How did we figure out how to do that?
I don't know.
Don't think we did. All right. Yeah, we did it for a long time, but something changed somewhere. Anyways, welcome. Hi, YouTube. And Blog Talk Radio, welcome to another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. And just like that, you get to hear yourself. Hallelujah. Well, it's exciting to know because, you know, Sister Leanne was creating a lot of background noise over there. So I bought her an apple and it solved everything. Somebody just signed in.
Roger.
Roger Oxy.
Hi, Roger.
Roger Oxy. Is he in? There he is. All right. Well, tonight we are going to be having a good word tonight about God is perfecting that which concerns me. How do you like that? I like it. It's a powerful, powerful word of God. And we're going to talk about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about his word. We're going to very, very specifically use the same plan that God has given us all the way along through this to speak the word and live in the word and walk in the word. Having trouble with audio on Zoom. Well, just hang in there. We'll get it mastered. I'll tell you what's interesting about this is I don't know if you caught it Sunday when we was live with those guys over in Jerusalem, but they were having a hard time with their audio.
Yes,
I didn't know if you noticed that. But I'm not glad they were having a hard time with their audio. I just am glad that I'm not the only one. It's just encouraging to know that even the big guys with a big pile of money still have to work out their salvation and their technology with fear, trembling, and no cursing. Always blessing. Always blessing. Always blessing. Sister Sunday, welcome. Brother Roger, welcome. It's good to have you guys with us. As you can see, this is not a cardboard figure of me. I am actually sitting in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And
please make sure he's there.
And I have Ripley down here keeping my feet warm since it's so cold today. And the cat's somewhere close by. And
everybody's happy
I'm home, including me. I'm happy that I'm home. And thanking God for his wonderful blessings in our life, in our family. And I noticed on Read the Word today that a year ago we was in Bismarck and we were diligently working to make money and do what we got to do. And what a difference a year makes. Thank you to every one of you who have prayed for us as we've been establishing our business. It is going very well. And I thank you for that, and thank you for helping us make things happen right here on the program. Those of you around the world, you might say, well, we're not quite sure, Pastor. Well, this is what we're sure of. We are sure that God is working in your life and ours, and he always moves us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. And that's not just a statement. That is not just a statement. That is the, in actuality, that is what our Father does for us every single day. And, you know, I've been noticing it a lot in the last little bit. You know, I'm praying all night long for all of you. You guys' lives should be changing miraculously. And I am noticing that exactly what Sister Leanne and I spoke from the Word of God 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, we are actually living now by, wow, here comes the angels. Isn't that something? Wow. Huh?
She needs a fan.
Huh. Now wait, let me say something. I'm just learning this. So I'm not saying it in any way in a braggadocious manner. I am actually saying it out of awe. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, we've known all along that they're here. Now there's an actual awareness of them in this room. Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Did we say hi to Sunday? Hi, Sunday.
Hi, Sunday. Yes, we did. Brother Dan, I see your mic's on. You got something you're going to say? Nope.
Whoops, nope.
Isn't that just something? Well, let's just pause. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your awesome presence. Thank you that the angels are always with us. Let's just pray together in the Holy Spirit a little bit. Bible says, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. He said that you will speak the perfect will of God. Albeit in the Spirit, we speak the perfect will of God. Chopin de lefere kisya mukaranda dava de blasitika. Amban de lesa fita brana vasa na kita balasa temandu shudi baba de mikiti maka. Alasine ne bendu brahma kavada basinde le manda de vade shuti kamana valama. Ambronde le barivara kadamana de visite vada kidiata mukura maka. Howbeit we speak the wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That's what we're doing right now. Anda la side bekena bone de vanda le bade bete pashiketelo ranome de kanda. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. This is designed right now for you and me. Shumkamba laba deva. Right here, right now, this moment, tonight, manifesting in everybody's lives. Now, wherever you are, whether you're on one of the 53 nations in Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, Zoom, maybe you're on Facebook with us tonight or someday in the future, I just want you right there in your home, just lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my house right now. I welcome you. Now, we know he's always welcome. You are welcome right here, right now, in my house. If it's you and your spouse, say, in our house. You are welcome in this house right here, right now. You're welcome in our studio room. Holy Spirit of God. Ando masifle makashendo rogalama da deneme badibalusta kadadushika. One rando bule babada masine nenga de bo asho baladera ba karevanusta kinibando. Oh, welcome Holy Spirit. Welcome Holy Spirit. Welcome, 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 welcome. Opanda deshevane kambranukala. Andalevari simba da kambango levist pakalashine kam. Andala cinema kadibadife she badikala rana manuke nibadi andamasita. Just pause in your night and just say it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here every single minute of every day in our house. Ombanda le si pre makula ka. Ane ne shole ma kambani bunde de ka. Omba la sine de ka. Ombanda le vete ba de kitivene ma ka. Ombando le bra da va sine mandu de gabite shemeni ka. In the mighty name of Jesus, 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 Nashita Monica. Maybe you've never prayed in your heavenly prayer language. Wow. How? My goodness, there's a heavy and money. Are you aware of that? Wait, I'm not. All of a sudden I realize there are people who say that just to draw people after them. There's a heavy anointing in this room right now. Well, Pastor, was you not expecting God to show up tonight? Well, yeah, like he normally does, but let me say something a little different. Let me say it this way. This, I believe, is what normal should be right here. This awareness of God in his presence is what normal, this is what our normal should be everywhere we go and everything we do, everywhere we're walking in all of the ways of our life. Our verse of scripture for tonight is being that which concerns you and me. Oh my goodness, Amanashi Kido Rukula Mava de Manasita Kita. Do it, Jesus. You're welcome. You are welcome here. Masude Kamakali Bisitima. And I know Nesha Kali Rabadi Vatimana Kidisima. Oh Masande Klame Karusi Valimata. Just if you've never prayed in your heavenly language, lift your hands and just say, I receive my heavenly prayer language right now tonight. O nekanda bede basa palanate vita shikomana ramandibe. O te maka shival libodone bata. In a mostan de kivala ma badivadiste pedikadama de gushi. Amanaka, o sandele ravadi bede shibu. Gandelemana vasitime nekete munde. And the least thing badanda de valabudika para nesunim anivadimanaka. We honor you. We honor your presence. Holy Spirit of God. You know, I had someone a while ago ask me, will the Holy Spirit come back into my life since I sinned and he left? And that's, well, it is the glory, but it is also the sunshine. We may have to close that curtain a little bit. Thank you.
It is pouring out.
Pouring?
Yeah.
What you see is the rain of his presence is pouring out upon us because it's sunshine. Can you see a rainbow? Isn't that something? That, see that bright sunshine? It's pouring rain right there. The rain of his presence. My. Isn't that just something? Isn't that just something? It's pouring down rain in the bright sunshine. I have I've been asking God many times in the last 2 months, where are we at and where are we going next? You know, what's next? And I received an email back from the guys at Wilkins Radio, so we'll be going on that radio station here, or however many of those in a matter of probably this next week. I've got 2 days off in a row here, so we'll get a lot accomplished. And thank God. God for his plan. I've been noticing lately, as we've studied all of these messages from God's different leaders that we've been drawing from, every single one of them have made this statement many times. I thought we were doing everything that God needed us to do, and we're doing about five times more than that now. and you start thinking about it, and you're like, well, yeah, but what God's saying is, I not only want you to do this and this, but these all things all work together. Watch it when we do this, and it just creates this forward motion and this forward movement of the things of God in our life. Now, so tonight's title is God is perfecting his perfect will in me through his holy word. And we're going to just study a bunch of verses about that. And then we're going to go back to just what we would call the ABCs of faith. I have I've watched different ones of God's great leaders go back to the ABCs of faith on a regular basis. I mean, even to the effect Dr. Winston has a ABCs of faith or the Foundations of Faith conference at the beginning of the year. And I noticed that other ones do. You know, Sister Nancy Dufresne. I like Nancy. She got lots of conferences, healing crusades and conferences. And I was talking with my daughter last night, camp meeting's about to start here. And but what does it do? It keeps you focused on the things of God, and it keeps you headed in the right direction. Welcome, Tracy McSwain. It's good to have you with us tonight. All the way from Oklahoma. Beautiful place to be. And so thank God for what he's done to the community of faith. And let's kick this thing off tonight. And isn't that something? All it takes is a little bit of information, revelation from God's word. And all of a sudden you see another whole part of God you never saw before. Mm-hmm. Wow. Let's go to our Shandabaki Vidava. Wow. Let's go to our loading verse. Our loading verse. You ever taken a loading dose of a medicine? When you needed a loading dose of a medicine, the doctor, some doctors would say, we'll take this loading dose, and they'll like give you two or three parts of it or something. Let's get our loading verse for tonight, our theme verse, and then we're going to talk about the Word of God and how to take His Word and change your life. The bottom line is your life won't change without the Word of God. And I've heard so many preachers preach lately that I'm not sure who said it, but one of the great men of God just said, you know, they were talking about, do you have your Bible? And they're like, no, that's your phone. Do you actually have your Bible? Because your phone will not, your Bible will not buzz. It will not jingle. It will not vibrate. It won't give you a message up on the screen that covers up everything else you're doing. The only thing your Bible will do is jump off the page at you. You ever had a verse jump off the page? And God say, that verse right there, pay attention to that verse right there. Did you notice that he didn't need the internet to get that done? He did not need the internet to get that done. He just has you, and he has the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and that's how we get it done. So here we go, Psalm 138. I think I'm just going to read this whole psalm. You know, it's only 8 verses. And the Lord's goodness to the faithful. David praises God for the truth of his word. Now, think about this. I love David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a mighty man of God. But think about David. What was the word that David had? What was the word that David had that he could speak the word like you and I speak the word out of 66 books? What was the word he spoke? Let's just use this verse as a reference point. Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. So what was that word that David was speaking? Because you and I speak the words that David wrote down. So the only word that David had to speak was the Pentateuch, the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Even though Job had already been written, we don't know that he had a copy of Job.
Right.
You know, and before David was, Ruth had been written, because Ruth was before Jesse, you know, Obed, or Ruth and not Joab, but
Boaz, yeah.
They were before David and Jesse. So Ruth could have been there. And then the judges were before David. So whenever I'm refreshing all my biblical knowledge here right in front of you tonight, but whenever the judges was written, he might have been able to have a copy of that, but he's a shepherd boy. And think about David, thy word have I hid my, that word that David just said, thy word have I hid, that's our word that we're saying, and he wrote it right then. You know? But he was quoting the Pentateuch, the law. And in that law, he was meditating day and night. The book of Joshua. I don't know when it was written, but think about what God said to Joshua. Meditate in the law day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's a lot of people that are trying to be a quote-unquote successful Christian without actually living in the Word of God. You can't do that. How are you going to be a successful Christian outside of the Word of God? You just are not going to do it. So what do we have to learn how to do? You and I have to learn how to take this book we call the Bible. I like Dr. Barclay's acronym about Bible, you know, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
There you go.
Right? So we've got to take the Bible, the Word of God that you and I have, and we've got to figure out how to take these words off this page, put them down inside of our life, get them down inside of our shoes, and walk them out every day wherever we go. And then carry God's presence with us so that everywhere we go, we are able to take his manifest presence that's in us, on us, working through us. We're able to take that into this world and share it with other people whose lives will be changed.
Amen.
Now, I'm back to Psalm 138. This is going to be a fun night. Are you ready? Because we're about to go rapid fire. Just put the big clip on. We're going to go through some Word of God tonight. But here's the reality. I remember sitting in church with my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barclay. And I remember looking at him and all of the elders that sat up front and the ministers on staff and everything. And I remember looking at him thinking, man, who are these guys? And they were just common folk. There wasn't one of the people in that ministry that wasn't just a common person. There was not a one of them. They were all common. I mean, even their great administrator, Dr. Barclay's administrator, his name's Bill Bailey. He was trained by Dow for 25 years. Bill was just an old rodeo guy. And when you see him, you know, he's got a nice suit on and he's very distinguished looking. And when you sit down across the desk from him, I have many times, and he's very proper, very, very professional. But he's just an old rodeo dude. He's an old riding the bunk rodeo guy. Got born again and spirit-filled in a Latter-day Saint church. And then, like many people say, yep, then he got the fellowship. because what the experience he got was not welcome in that place anymore, so he had to leave. Now watch this. Randy Saylor, which is the minister on staff, was just an old redneck. He was nothing more than just a hunting redneck out in the woods. He's just an old hunting, fishing redneck guy that had a good job. You know, that's all he was. Gary Smith, which is actually runs the whole Ministry of Health team there and has just helped Pastor build that whole thing, is a drywaller. He's just a drywaller. Jack and Joni Gear, he's just a contractor. And yet, what have they become? They become this mighty army. What? But do you remember the last couple of times when we've seen him? Since COVID started, they have actually raised, what, $6 million? $5 million or something?
Oh, yeah.
Since COVID started in that church, they've raised $5 million to build new buildings. Wait a minute. This isn't a mega church of 20,000 people. They might have 700, but... Well, there's people that take this Bible and said, Lord, make that Bible change me and let me go do something for you. Bill and Meg Lippard. That's, I'm saying names of people you don't know. Bill and Meg Lippard were two of the most anointed men and women of God you've ever met. And they were the lead elders there at Dr. Barker's church in Midland, Michigan. And Bill and Meg Lippard, not by admission of themselves, they never said this, but their sons said it to me. Bill and Meg lived in a little trailer park down next to the junkyard in a little trailer, and had some Shetland ponies out behind their little trailer. And that's where they were when they met Jesus. And they met Jesus through Dr. Barclay. And the one son said, I used to go and steal gas from other people, and I'd take it down and hide it in the gas tanks at the junkyard. So whenever I needed gas, I could just go out there and siphon some out of the tanks. I didn't expose anybody's name here, and this was a long time ago. Many restitutions has already been made on this, anybody that's listening. What's the point? Rob told me that they used to take the Shetland ponies, ride them up through the front step of the house, ride them down the hall of the trailer, ride them out the back step and back out in the yard, and they would race the horses to the house. Now, what are you telling us, Pastor? These are the most anointed elders you had ever met. And who were they? They were just common people who said, show me your word, O Lord. Show me your word. And in so doing, they became mighty men and women of God. Well, all of that to say, let's go to Psalm 138 and read the psalm. Welcome, Åke Lartsen, all the way from Sweden. Is that where she's in? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Brother Tanvir and Julian and Bamala, Sister Maxine, if you guys are all there, it's good to have you with us. And those of you that we don't even know your name, we welcome you. And we're glad you're with us. Isn't that something I can't see them, but those angels are here. Wow. Wow. Here we go. Psalm 138. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I'm in Psalm 138, verse number 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Now watch. Where did David get this revelation? Where did he get this revelation? You and I are reading David's revelation right now, and it is the word of God to us, David's revelation. But look at what the revelation is. You have magnified your word above all your name. Remember this. They did not have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. They did not have the manifestation of God Almighty by the Holy Spirit in filling them. Where did David come up with this truth? You have magnified your word above all your name. Where did he come up with it? Somewhere in the Pentateuch, David got this revelation. Now, I got to get these 8 verses read, and then we'll add some more verses here. You ready? I'm in verse number 3. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud, he knows them from afar, afar off. So let's just stop and put a reference point on that verse, Psalm 138, verse 6. And let's put a reference point over here in the book of James. Remember what it says in the book of James? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Hebrews, let's find that verse. Hebrews, God resists the proud. That is James chapter 4. And that's verse 6 through 10. James 4, 6 through 10. If somebody wants to please add these verses over there as a reference in YouTube. That way we can keep a running reference over there. 4, 6 through 10. Now watch this. This is so amazing. This is not in my notes tonight. There's nothing in notes tonight. This is all by the Holy Spirit. But think about David. David is speaking as though he has a Bible in his hand that he studies. But he didn't have a Bible in his hand that he studied. And he most certainly didn't carry a scroll around with him out there in the wilderness feeding the sheep. So somewhere, God himself ministers the word and the truth to these men and women. Now, did they hear the word read? Yes. As Jewish boys, they came to memorize the word and know the word. Yes, a good Jewish family, they would all know the word. Most of them could probably quote the first five books of the Bible.
Right.
Oh, Pastor, that would be so hard to memorize that. No one. You have so much technology that your brain is shut off because you depend on your technology. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have any of this technology, all of your mental faculties would be so much more strong, so much more severe than what they are right now, because we've learned to let technology do the work for us.
There's so much distraction.
And it's created so much distraction. Yeah. Let's read this. James 4. 6, God gives more grace. Want to say it with me? I receive it.
I receive it.
God gives more grace. Well, grace, great, then I receive it. Receive that grace. The next verses we're going to go to, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Ready? Let's fix the Christian doctrine. He doesn't give grace to the humiliated.
Amen. Yes.
See, there's a difference between humble and humiliated. Humble is bold. Humble is confident. Humble knows the truth. Humiliated, the devil stomps on you. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God's not telling us to walk around and mourning and sorrow and lamenting all the time. He's saying, if you're proud, get your heart right with me, and that's probably going to mean humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. There's so many people in our day that says, Lord, Will you just humble me, please? Will you force me to humble myself? Look at what it says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You got to humble yourself. People say, Lord, will you please reach down out of heaven and force me to open up my mind to you? Nope. He will not do that. You're praying a prayer that will never be answered. Because you have to open your mind in order for God to fill it with wisdom. You have to open your heart. He can't. God will never force you to do anything. If he forces you to do it, you're no longer serving him out of love and faithfulness. So say this with me. Lord, I open.
Lord, I open.
My heart.
My heart.
My mind.
My mind.
My understanding.
My understanding.
And receive the grace of God for my life. Amen. You got to just love the day we live in. I like Brother Roger, Sister Okaloxi, welcome, and Brother Tambor. Blessing to you. Good blessing to you too, Roger. We've all learned that English wasn't as important as what we thought it was as we was growing up. Amen. I love it. Guys, keep going. You're doing good over there on YouTube. I love it. All right, let's go back over here to Psalm 138. I'm going to get through this. Yeah, amen. Psalm 133, verse 7. 138, verse 7. I get it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Say it. Thank you for your salvation,
yeah.
O Lord. Verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Now, let's go to the book of Job. What about Job?
What about Job?
What about Job? Go with me. Let's just do a little Job study tonight. God is perfecting that which concerns me. Hold on. Come on now. You got to get my note holder in the right spot there. Job 33, let's go there. Job 33. Now look at this. Amen, Roger. I love the majestic word of God. See, there's a lot of people. And I know you guys hear me say this all the time. There's a lot of people who are waiting for God to do something to them so that they will grow. God has already done everything that he's going to do. This usually stretches some Christians. God's already done everything he's going to do. It is now up to you and me to avail ourselves to what he's already done. What's that other word like avail? To put into practice.
Yeah.
Anyways, it'll come to us. But so what did David just say? God is perfecting that which concerns me. Now think about this. Here's David, a musician, out taking care of the sheep. God has called him the next king. The great prophet Samuel, who was a Nazarite from his birth, shows up and anoints David king, the next king of Israel. But he didn't do it in front of Saul. And yet David knows he's the next king of Israel by the anointing of God. And David's out in the field taking care of sheep. I am the king. Wow. All right. Well, thank you. Glory be to God. Thank you. I have been anointed. And, I mean, think about it. David didn't go from the anointing service from Samuel and go immediately to the palace and Saul began to train him to be the next king. David got done being anointed. Jesse had a feast prepared. They sat down and ate with the great prophet Samuel. Samuel said, hey, guys, got to run. Nice seeing you. God bless you, David. And off Samuel went. And what did David do? Hey, there's my mom. Everybody say hi to mom. He must have carried. Mom, David had, he was the first one to carry a Walkman. Remember them little devices we'd turn on the cassette player and we could record on it?
Yep.
He must have carried something to write on, yeah. Because we have his Psalms. Amen. Amen. Now think about it. David's anointed king. And where does David go when the anointing's done? And the feast is done. David wasn't even invited to the anointing service and the feast. Samuel had to look at Jesse and say, where, you got somebody else here, because there ain't none of these guys. And Jesse's like, oh, I got one out in the field. Well, then get him in here, you know. So the anointing service is done. And what does David do? He goes back out in the field with the sheep. I wonder if he had one of them Stephen Covey planner books, you know, with a zipper on it, 7 successful habits of a successful person. But like mom said, he had to have something. He had to have something. Either that or Holy Spirit brought it back to him. Wow, I can just feel them angels. Can you, are you aware of that? Huh. We're probably not supposed to bring awareness about it, are we? I don't know. Here we go. Look at this. Yeah, thank you, Tracy. Job. Job 33, verse 14. Wow. Watch this. Remember, Job is the oldest book in the of the Bible that was written. See. That did not come out. That came out like totally inside out. Maybe, can you say that better? Job was the first book of the Bible that was written. All right? Job was between the flood and Abraham. So in that period of time is where Job is. The floods happened. Noah came off the flood. He got Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their 3 wives. See, Ham, Shem, and Japheth each had 1 wife, and they were, that made 3 wives, amen. And so Noah and his wife probably had more kids again themselves. Everybody was having babies till they were really old. And you got to think, Noah and his wife were 600 years old when they went on the ark. Well, then somewhere between the flood and Abraham is Job, right? What we're getting ready to read is someone between the flood and the Abrahamic covenant, which you and I live in today, is the Abrahamic covenant. Now watch this. Verse 14. For God may speak in one way or in another. would you say that God's speaking to that person that's making that statement?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we know that this is Elihu, one of Job's friends, who said this. God may speak in one way or another, and yet man does not perceive what it is that he's saying to him. Remember, the guy that's saying these words doesn't have one piece of paper of God's word anywhere. The law's not out. It's 1,000 years before the law is going to come out. Job's not yet written. They're living out Job right now. So this isn't written yet.
Yeah.
So how do these people know everything they know from the book of Job? If you've not read Job lately to say, wait, what do these people know about God? You need to go back and go to our YouTube page and go to our playlist of Read the Word and go through the book of Job. It's a pretty amazing thing. And Job is actually the first book of the Bible that actually says anything about the suffering Savior. There are prophetic words in Job about Jesus suffering, and this is before the covenant. This is before the law. This is before Melchizedek and Abraham. So look at what it says, verse 14. God's going to speak in one way or another, and yet man's not going to perceive it. Then verse 15. However, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man, while he's slumbering on his bed, then he, notice this he in verse 16 is capitalized. Circle it. Some of you don't do this. Look at this. See this? Look at my Bible. It's circled. It's underlined. It's highlighted. It's got words off to the side. Why? Because if you don't make this book personal to you, then what have you got? A book you worship? Like Brother Hagin used to say, if you can't write in your Bible, write to me, and I'll send you a Bible you can read in. Amen? Because you got to be able to write in your Bible. So circle that he in verse 16, because it's capitalized. That means then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction inside of them. When? While you're sleeping. Now, I am a stickler for getting the word hidden in your heart, right? Amen. I probably learned how to write my Bible from my mother. Right? My mother's old Bible is true, and so is her new one. All of my mother's Bibles are true. What's that verse? Psalm 119, 111? What is it? No. Psalm 119,
So funny though, we were talking about that the other day, that so many of us, I was one of those that was raised, you don't write in your Bible, you don't earmark the pages, you don't do anything with it, you bring it out.
Right.
You sit still and read it, and that's it.
Right. But see, what we did then is we worshiped the Bible.
Yeah.
We worshiped it.
And didn't use it for the instruction manual it was intended to be.
Yeah. They're all around me, fire angels. It's the truth. I can feel the heat of them. All right. Psalm 119. I'm looking for a verse here. I'm doing all right here. I got this. You know why I can't find that verse? Because I was all of a sudden in Psalm 118. You know, you can't find the verse from Psalm 119 and 118. You've got to know where you're going.
119 has so
many more. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yeah. Let's just keep reading. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your law. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself on your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Now, I got about five things open right now on this program tonight, okay? Hold on just a second. Let me get another bookmark here. You got to always keep lots of bookmarks. Now, let me explain that real quick. Tracy asked that question. The reason I made that statement about, am I supposed to talk about the angels being here? Is there's a certain part of God that must be praised. You give him glory and honor, and that brings his presence. But we don't ever say it for the purpose of looking like we're greatly anointed. Look at me. I have the angels around me. You don't ever do that. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, but...
Yeah. We don't use it as a prideful...
We don't use it as something, as a badge of honor. Oh, look at me. I'm so good. I got the angels with me. I mean, the revelation about what's going on right now tonight is these same angels have been here this whole time. We have an angel here that is the angel of the church of the community of faith. We have my angel, my own personal angels that are here. We have Leanne's angels there. This room's filled with angels. They've been here all along. I think what's going on is I've become aware, as we studied with Dr. Kevin Zadi, I've become aware that some of the things I thought was a problem in my life was not a problem at all. It was actually the ministry of angels. All right? So, like Tracy said, they're fire angels. Now let's just grab that real quick. In the midst of, I know right now you got your fingers in five different places, but listen, I've told you many times, get you lots of these kind of bookmark things and stick them in your Bible so that you have the ability to stay connected with us in the verses where we are for tonight. Psalm 103 and 104 should be on the same page. Anyone who gets my Bibles that I have read, they get my diary also. Yeah, yeah, that would be me too. That would be me too. But see, I learned it from my mom. And mom and dad always was a great example, both of them, that were reading their Bible and studying every day. My dad would get up and make a cup of coffee and make a piece of toast with butter and cinnamon sugar. And he would sit down at the table, read that, and drink his coffee, and eat that toast and read his Bible. You see, that was about 5:55, 6 o'clock in the morning. And then, depending on how nice the weather was, he took his coffee cup and went for a walk in the woods, prayed, and talked with God.
Or how loud the seven kids were.
Amen, Roger. How do I receive the Bible? The diary you write.
Roger wants on the inheritance list.
Roger. Amen. I love cinnamon toast too. Now, I'm in Psalm 104. No, I'm in Psalm 103. Let's look at this ministry of angels. Wow. I would think that my mom's diary, her Bible, would probably already be spoken of by many daughters of the Cobble family.
I don't know. She may auction it if she's going like this.
Hallelujah. And I love my mom. If you don't know, my mom is an ordained minister of the gospel in the Nazarene Church. And she went when she was 80 years old and got her ordination papers and helps there in her local church, in the local Nazarene Church right there in that city that she lives in. Where she lives, Lenore City. Here we go.
Oh, your book is a mess.
Psalm 103:19-23. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. All right? Bless the Lord, you his angels. Bless the Lord, you his angels. All right? So what's the angels? They're there to do the work of God. All right? Who excel in strength. Now, you don't want a timid, bashful, weak, sissy angel. Of course, there are none of those. Right? There's no sissy, weak angels. But you want your angels to be excelling in strength. So how do I get that to be done, Pastor? Well, here's the whole purpose of tonight's message right here in this verse. Heeding the voice of his word. Now, if you don't have his circled in your Bible, I like the circle. Every time I see a pronoun that is pointing to God. So look at verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. This is why we teach you on a regular basis. You've got to speak the word of God out loud. Why? Because when you and I speak the word of God out loud, focused on whatever area it is we need in our life, just like tonight, Okalachi's was on there saying she's giving up pharmacare, whatever it was you said. Well, what you got to do is you've got to speak the word of God about that, and then that gives the angels access into your life to bring God's word to pass. Why? Because you spoke his word, not your own words. You spoke his word back to him and out loud for the angels that are around you to bring that word to pass right in front of your eyes and in front of the eyes of everybody around you. It's a sign. It's a wonder. It's a miracle. Just like in Mark chapter 16, these signs follow them that believe. In my name, they will. So as a believer, signs are supposed to follow you. The more signs that follow you, the more people see you and say, and when you need a prayer answered, go to that guy. Why? Because he's going to speak the word of God. That word is going to be filled with power. You ready? And your angels. And they're going to bring that word to pass. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 21. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Now, love, can you find that verse that says, he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants?
Yeah.
And we'll read that in a minute. Now, go with me to Psalm 104. And we're going to read 1 through, oh, you just can't stop in 104, but we're going to read down through verse 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment. who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Well, of course, David's going to know this. Why? He's out there in the heavens on a daily, nightly basis. Can you imagine? There wasn't any light noise for David to get away from out there where he was feeding his sheep.
Right.
What did David say? Just come with me, little sheep. Let's get over that next hill so we get away from the light noise of Bethlehem, of Jerusalem. Well, no, there wasn't no street lights. There, you know, they didn't. The sewer system wasn't all lit up with the big, you know, thing, and there was no street lights. So the heavens declared the glory of God to David, and David said, look, it's just like a curtain, man. God pulls that curtain up there, and he pulls it back, and the stars are there. He probably knew the names of every star there was out there, you know. They were all named. What's the point of what you're saying, Pastor? Every one of us have angels.
Yeah.
Every one of us have angels. What are they? They are ministering spirits of the Lord who look at what it says there, who excel in strength, verse 20, heeding the voice of his word. So when you speak his word, they are bringing to pass the will of God. And look what kind of will it is. It's his pleasure. Did you find another reference?
Yeah,
35:27. Psalm 35:27. Now let's link Psalm 35:27 together with Psalm 103:22. 35:27. Wow. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Hallelujah. How do you show gladness? You dance a little bit. Woo, 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 woo. Wait, some of you have never danced before you got a blessing. The way you get the blessing here is dance when there ain't no blessing here. You can ask my wife. I have jumped out of bed 2.5 years, 3 years now, and jumped out of bed in the morning and shouted, today's the greatest day of harvest we've ever seen. Right?
Yeah.
Why? I heard Gloria say that. I'm like, well, if Gloria's doing it, I'm doing it. Or maybe it's George, Brother George Pearson.
George.
I'm like, if George is doing it, I'm going to do it because look how blessed George is. See, you got to get that word on your lips. As soon as God's word comes off your lips, now your angels, God's ministers to do his good pleasure for you, can go to work. They can't go to work on your words of hatred, strife, division, confusion,
amen,
offense, bitterness. They can't go to work on those. Matter of fact, they're going to work on you. Just want to smack you upside your ugly head for acting like that.
And you don't want them working on those words or off of those words in your life.
Let me see if I can make this a little more plain. To me, it seems like I'm being very plain tonight. But I've not had a lot of sleep lately, so I might be a little, am I making sense?
Yeah.
All right. 27 again. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Shout for joy.
Woo!
Favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Look at this. Who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Now, you ready? Hold your finger there. Get you one of these other papers. You got to have a lot of papers when you're studying with me. And let's go back to Psalm 103. Verse 21, bless the Lord, all you his host. Jesus is the captain of the Lord of hosts. Jesus is the captain over all the angels. All right. Look at this. You ministers of his who do his pleasure. And we just saw a verse that says, He delights in the prosperity of his servant. It's his pleasure to prosper his servants. All these angels that's in this room, in your life, are doing everything in their power to bring the blessings of God to you in every area of your life. Remember what we read in James? You have to humble yourself. You have to open up yourself. You can't say, angels, open my mind for me. And so the angel grabs you and he starts pulling your hair, you know, and he's twisted on your head. The angel can't do that. The angel can bless the word that you study, you speak, you declare. They can bless that word. But it's got to come off your lips. I think sometimes there's angels that squeeze us trying to get air to come out of our mouth so we'll say a word. I don't have no scriptural basis for that, but they're standing around doing nothing. And they look at the Father like, can I just squeeze him? Maybe if he lets some air out, he'll say a good word. See, there's a lot of believers who are standing around waiting for God to do something to them when God wants to do something through them. Amen. I was not laughing at what Tracy just wrote there in the notes. Okay? I wasn't laughing at that. Oh, hey, you know what? I just was reminded. I received a message from a friend of mine that we need to pray for their son who's going into a specific military situation where there's great danger.
Oh,
let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I won't mention their names, but you know their names, Father. And we speak and we bless this family now. Been in the service of our nation for 10 years now. We bless that. We bless this young man. We bless his wife, his children. We bless his mom and dad, all the family that love their mighty warrior. Whatever this mission is that they're going on, Father. I know this young man. He's a man of God. He loves you. He takes the presence and power of God with him. His mama done trained him. You take the angels with you wherever you go. I know all of that. We add our faith right now with theirs that says, got to get my tongue in order. Moses Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Do you know when Moses wrote that psalm? Moses wrote Psalm 91. Moses wrote that psalm when God said, take them people and go in. No, he said, Moses, take your people and go in. And Moses said, these ain't my people. These are your people. You're the one that brought them out. I ain't doing it. And if you're not going with me, we ain't moving. If your presence doesn't go with me, you're the one that's going to give us rest. And God said, I will send my angel with you. And Moses wrote Psalm 91. So I say this over all of our family and friends in the military, in the police, in the fire. We declare no evil will befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling. He's given the angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. You will not dash your foot against stone. Amen? And it won't throw no stones on top of you. You'll tread on the lion and the adder. You'll trample on the young lion and the dragon. God said, I rescue all who cling to me. I protect whoever knows my name. I am with them when they are in trouble. And with long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. My dear sister, if you're with me tonight, you know who you are that I just prayed this prayer for. That's Psalm 91 in the Jerusalem Doubleday edition. It's a really good Psalm 91 translation. I really like the translation in that version. You can find that in the Catholic Bible, what most people would call the Catholic Bible. There you go. Now, let's get back to this. Thank you, Father, for that reminder. And I just want to let this family know, we love every one of you, and we're believing God for you, and we're speaking God's blessing and strength over you. And I declare the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it goes with your whole family. Thank you for being a blessing to us in Jesus' name. And I think I actually got it done without even revealing anybody's identity. I did it. Now, I'm back in Psalm 103. You're doing a good job, Tracy McSwain, of keeping up with me here, because tonight might just be a little bit of a challenge to keep up. Let's keep reading here. Now, where am I at? Oh, I'm in Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now, I'm just going to say this. Brother Roger, Sister Tracy, Okilarcy, Rebecca Smith, Sister Sunday, who all over the band. Hey, John Wayner, where are you? We miss you, buddy. Love you, John. I know you're... Oh, my mom. Yeah, my mom's there. Now, all of you, bless you, Tracy. God bless you and your family. Thanks for being a part of what we do here. We enjoy your faith added to our faith. Thank you for bringing your faith with you. You're a wonderful friend and helper. Thank you. Now, I want everybody that's here to learn, you got to speak these two verses out loud. How often, Pastor? Every single day. Every single day, speak them out loud. Well, Pastor, do you realize if I spoke every verse out loud that you've given us to speak out loud, that's all I would do all day long? Well, hallelujah, you finally got it. I got to cook food and take a shower. I know. Speak the word while you're taking the shower and cooking your food. Wait, what's the whole purpose of what we're saying? The more you speak God's word out of your mouth, the more these angels manifesting in their presence tonight. Flames of fire. I can feel the heat off of these angels. I can feel that heat. Isn't that interesting? Now, I want you to know something. This is like within the last, what, month we got this revelation? Yeah. Ever since we've been doing the Community of Faith program, which was March 23rd, 2020, ever since we did that, how many nights have I looked at you and said, man, I was just sweating like crazy. And how many nights? I would get done with the time we were here, and I would just be soaked. Yeah. And I could feel that heat on me the whole time. And I heard Dr. Kevin saying, oh, they're here with me. I can feel their heat. Well, I always thought there was something wrong with me on the inside. Like I got some kind of problem. But see, that's what the enemy always wants you to say. Every time you feel a symptom in your body, or you feel something on your body, like, well, there's something wrong with me. No, there's not something wrong with you. Number one, it might be God manifesting on you. Number two, it could be the angels around you. And number three, it might be a fiery dart being shot at you. So don't claim it as yours and go take some kind of medication for it. I jumped up and ran over the cat.
Sorry, buddy.
Ran right over the cat. He didn't even jump. I had to get up and dance a little bit. Why? Woo! We're doing this thing. Now, so look what time it is. Let's circle the wagons here. This is our first circle of the wagons. This is the one that we circle and we say, Cookie, get out the beans and the ham. Amen. Amen, Roger. At the very beginning when we started this, this heat, this fiery angels was with us at the very beginning. Now listen, that same fiery presence has never left us. Some of you find, you've heard me say it, that I woke up having swept the bed. What does that mean? Well, I used to think that meant there was something wrong with me. I don't think that anymore. Let's write a couple of verses now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things come new. Remember this statement. If death is the only time you're delivered from sin, then death is your Savior, not Jesus. Ready? Somebody type that right in the comments there. If death is the only time you will truly be free from sin, then Jesus isn't your Savior, death is. Just letting it soak in. See, Jesus died to save you, to redeem you, to empower you, to make you like him. So that's why I continually give you sets of verses that say, speak these verses out loud every single day. Why? Because you've got to give the angels who are around you something to work with. And the only thing you can give the angels that's around you to work with is the word of God. Because they don't work off of your words unless your words are speaking the word. Some of you that want healing in your body, you got to speak the healing verses. And then you got to go to war. You got to get serious with it. You've got to get serious with it. You got to get so serious that you're using the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the word of God, the healing power of God, and the righteousness of God. You got to get that coming off your lips so much that you probably say it 30, 40,000 times in one day. It doesn't matter. Until you begin to use the blood of Jesus in every part of your life, the devil's not going to back off because he doesn't respect anything but the blood. You can call him slew fit, split hook, fork tail, fork tongue, and any other name you want to call him, and that don't mean one, two hoots to him. He don't care. Call him names. The only thing that's going to make the enemy leave your life is when you get serious with your lips and the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus from the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to the angels to go to get busy. And here's the revelation of it. As soon as you get that happening in your life, it ain't long, and everything begins to change. Now, I've got to get to this verse, so stop leading me off. All right, Psalm 104, verse 5. Who makes his angels spirits, ministers a flame of fire. Tracy McSwain said a minute ago, fire angels. Somebody say, thank God for the fire angels. Hebrews chapter 1, go there quickly. Why, I got so many different verses open in my Bible tonight, we'll never get finished.
Hebrews what?
Say it, Roger. 4 more hours. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. And let's read 5 through 14. Might as well just read the whole chapter.
Might as well.
Hebrews 1, get your Bible open. Get your pen so you can circle stuff, write in it. Today in Hebrews, 1, 5, 3, 7, 3, 13, 3, 15, 4, 7, 5, 5, and 13, 8. That's a note I wrote in my Bible.
Yeah.
We might give that to you for extra credit tonight.
Yeah.
verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and in various ways would also mean in dreams and visions and revelations in the middle of the night when you're asleep.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? And by an angel coming up and walking with you. I mean, my mom and I were talking earlier today, and we were talking about how the angel went they came down to Abraham, and they're like, Abraham, we're going to go over and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for God. And we've just been told we got to stop by because God calls you his friend, and he wanted us to tell you what was going on. And Abraham says to Jesus shows up, and Abraham says, will you destroy it if there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 30, all the way down to 10? God said, I won't destroy it if there's 10. But there wasn't 10. And the angels literally had to grab Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, and drag them out of the city before they destroyed that city.
Yeah.
And then as they're dragging them out, Mrs. Lot decides she's going to turn around and cry about what she just left and turn to a pillar of salt. This old salty, old nasty, salty thing. Stop it. Think about it. Judged immediately because she turned around and looked away, looked back at that thing that the angels were getting them out of. And they were some messed up folks because Lot's two daughters said, oh, my God, God just destroyed the whole earth and there's nothing left. But my sister and I and my dad, so they got him drunk and had sex with him so they could give birth to children. The Bible called Lot righteous. Lot vexed his righteous soul because he lived amongst all that perversion and he didn't get himself up and above it. He went right in the middle of it. Verse 2. Back to the word. God has in these last days spoken unto us by his son, so his son speaks to us, whom he's appointed heir of all things, and we're a joint heir with him. That's Romans 8, 14 through 17. Appointed him heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So Jesus is the creator, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, guys, if your sins are purged, do you no longer call yourself a sinner? Now, how many people say it every day? I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Wait, you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. You can't be both. Every time you make that statement, I'm just a sinner. Say by grace, but I'm just a sinner. The angels have to stand mute and unable to work because you call yourself a sinner. When they know you are an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, a new creation, old things have passed away and all things become new. And when you make that statement, they look to heaven like, what? What are we doing here with this guy? Your precious blood, Jesus, was put on the mercy seat for him, and he just said, I'm a sinner. And they're like, they look at the Father, and they're like, I've been with him. He didn't do anything. I don't know why he's calling himself a sinner. See, that's that spirit of religion that's causing you to say things. It keeps your spiritual life broken. You got to quit saying I'm a sinner, and you got to start saying I'm a saint. Guess what? You can throw anything you want because it ain't going to hurt me and it can't touch me. So throw it. You'll knock your own computer off. You got to stop making that statement because the angels hands are tied when you make that statement. What do I say, Pastor? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. I'm a minister of reconciliation. I am filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. He made me a king and a priest unto my God. And you ready? We say it almost every single morning on the program, on our prayer program. That's our opening prayer. Right? So we're leading you in how to do this. I know. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't want that. I want you to just lay your hands on me so they'll all just come on me immediately. Brother Hagin called that laying an empty hand on empty heads. You calling me empty-headed, Pastor? No. What I'm saying is, it doesn't do me any good to put my hand on your head when you're trying to get me to do something I can't even do. What good does it do? I mean, I like you. I'll put my hands on you, I guess, if that's what you want, but that ain't gonna, it's not going to do you any good. Why? Because you have to open up your mouth and speak these words off of these pages out loud in faith so these angels can go to work and bring to pass the things that God wants you to have.
Amen.
So, verse number 3 says, he had by himself purged our sins. Since he purged our sins, what's left after a purging? Nothing. Your sins are all gone. But Pastor, I'm still a sinner. No, you're not. I used to hear Brother Jesse the Planet preach that message. Would you quit trying to be what you already are? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, Jesse. What do you mean by that? Well, he just means that very statement. You can say, I wish I was in the hotel. I wish I was in the hotel. I wish I was in the hotel. The whole time you're staying in the hotel, you're already there. Quit wishing. You have already been made righteous. Everything that's coming at you to convince you you're not is a fiery dart. Them fire angels are in this room tonight. Father, thank you. Thank you for this revelation. Angels, thank you for being faithful. We don't worship you, but thank you that you do your work. If you only knew how free I feel tonight, realizing there ain't nothing wrong with my body. This isn't something going on in my body. This is the manifest presence of Almighty God and my angels. Mm-hmm. So he purged your sins. They're gone. Start saying it. Start saying it. It can't come to pass until you speak it. I just want to be like you, Pastor. Boy, if you're going to be like me, you got to open up your mouth and speak the word.
My sins are purged.
I don't even know how to do that. Well, right there. Just say it. When he had by himself purged our sins. That's how you do it. You get one of these note cards. You get one of these note cards. Man, that was in the deep pack of note cards. You get one of these note cards, and you write that verse right there on it, Hebrews 1:3. And then you carry that around, and you stick it in your pocket. And everywhere you go, you got this little white thing sticking up by your pocket. People are like, what you got that in your pocket for? And they pull it out, and you read it to them. He has by himself purged our sins. My sins are all purged. I was telling my mom, I said, Brother Dan, I said, Sister Leanne, but I'll say it to you. You just got to have about 5 more hours. I was praying this last couple of weeks about finances. Wow. Powerful anointing on this. Well, a fiery dart is only going to come from the enemy. Fiery dart is only going to come from the enemy. It's not going to come from...
And that's any bad thought, Roger. Any?
Right. So our angels are not going to send fiery darts into us. They're just things of fire. They're on fire from the presence of God. So their fire is to give us power to do our work. You feel it sometimes in your hands. You'll feel the fires in your hands, and you'll be like, wow. When that happens, then you say, Father, who am I supposed to lay my hands on for healing? They're not sending, the angels are not sending fiery darts to us. The enemy sends a fiery dart at us to stop us, to try to remind us of our past. And we just look at him and say, uh-uh. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. I am a minister of reconciliation. All of that is in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 23.
Yeah. A fiery dart is just any bad thought, Roger. Anything that brings turmoil or fear to your spirit.
That's a fiery dart.
That's a fiery dart, yeah. The angel is just the...
These flames of fire angels around us, they're sending some fire downrange for you, but it's not hitting you. When these guys go to war, they're taking out those enemies that's coming at you. The covenant that you and I live in, covenant that you and I live in, Deuteronomy 28 says, the enemy will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. These guys, our surrounding angels that surround us and protect us, they're going to drive that enemy back. So those things that's coming at you, that's not coming from in here. That's the enemy shooting you with something that you once had a problem with, and now he's trying to get you to stay connected to that problem. And these flames of fire, the host of heaven, are here to drive back that force of the earth so that you can get accomplished what God has told you to get accomplished. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a whole bunch of you, of your life, that is not going to come in line with the word of God and the things of God until you get really bold with your words and begin to speak out loud the blood of Jesus. Now, I've got to get to these verses. Jesus, help me. Verse 4, Hebrews 1:4. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. Now remember, the angels are ministers. They're flames of fire. They're sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's you and me. They've been sent from our Father to this earth to cause you and I to function in, flow in, walk in the ways of God. And they are... Our supporting force to help us get accomplished the will of Almighty God. Amazing. Keep reading. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did he say, you are my son, today I've begotten you? None of them. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. When Jesus came into the earth, out in the wilderness, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. Can you imagine those shepherds up there in the flocks, with the flocks that night? You wouldn't know whether to lay down, run around, and jump up and praise the Lord. Isn't that what the song the little kids used to sing? Sit down, stand up, run around, praise the Lord. So, verse 7. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers are a flame of fire. Isn't that just amazing? But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And he gave you his righteousness. He just gave it to you. All you got, it's a gift. You have to receive it. You can't earn it. You can't work it. You have to receive it. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions. And, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. God's going to fold the heavens up like a cloak. And he's going to burn this earth with fire. Not Iran. Not China. Not Russia. God is the only one that will destroy this earth. Man. 13. Which of the angels, as he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? He didn't. 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, let's just talk about tonight. What are we doing? So we started out by the verse of scripture that says, God will perfect that which concerns you. This is one of the most foundation principles of your life as a believer. What? That you have the angels of God that are ministering to you. They're flames of fire. They're here to protect you, to keep you safe. But they're also here to uncover hidden treasures and uncover wisdom and revelation. And when you can begin to feel that angel hot heat on you, they're here right now to bring to you an answer that you've been needing. Don't turn on NBC, CBS, turn the stupid TV off and quit looking at your shorts. Open your Bible and read something that they can illuminate to you. Why? Because that's why that presence begins to manifest. Because right then they have a revelation. Now, so get these verses out about the angels. Psalm 104:3, 104:91, Hebrews chapter 1. And you put them in a way that makes sense to you. Now, I can put them in a way that makes sense to me, but you got to make it work for you.
Yeah.
Right? And then take it out of the third person and put it into the first person like you're talking to God. Remember that one time we were praying and the Father said, why is she talking about me and not talking to me?
Talking about me like I'm not here.
Yeah. No. See, he's in you. So you got to begin to communicate with God because he, not as if he's in you, because he is in you. So let's say these angel verses. You might need to have a loading dose of them of, you know, a week of saying just those verses. What does that do? That gets it down inside of you. So the next time something begins to happen, you immediately go right to the angels and say, ministering spirits of the Lord, you're sent to minister to the heir of salvation. I'm an heir of salvation. Wait, pause. Let me prove I am an heir of salvation. Here's the proof. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am saved. Right? Any man that's been saved is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I'm no longer that person I used to be. I'm a new creation. And verse 23 says, I have been made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you, according to Revelation 12:10, that by the blood of the Lamb, I overcome. And these words that I'm speaking are my testimony, and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and I give my life up completely to you. Now see what I just did? I spoke the angel verses. I spoke John 3:16. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm saved. I spoke Revelation 12:10, which says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So what is it that you're actually doing, Pastor? I just showed you how to win the battles of your life. It's already done. God is sitting on his throne. Jesus is seated beside the Father. You know why? Not because he's tired. Jesus is seated on the throne because his work is complete. There's nothing else for Jesus to do in your life except manifest the truth that's already in this book to you so that you can appropriate it. That was the word I was looking
for.
So you can take it off this page, put it down in your heart, speak it off your mouth, and go to war against your enemy. Pastor, I want the enemy to quit attacking me. I know. So do I. I have a word for you. I've been around the kingdom now for 60 years. Because that's how old I am. And that's how young I am, actually. And I've never seen when the enemy ever stopped fighting. Why? He's the father of lies. He's the father of confusion. He's the father of death. He don't know. He's dead. He's a dead spirit. He don't know. And every time he fights against us, then we just take the blood of Jesus to him. We overcome how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we do not love our life even unto the death. That doesn't mean go out and die tonight because you got to die for Jesus. It just means live a life of selfless service to God. Give your life completely to him. But you've got to get that verse down inside of you so that you can speak it out loud. I was praying to God. Let me just find that verse. I think it's Revelation 5. It's a Revelation verse that says we've been redeemed by the blood. Yeah, there it is. Revelation 5, 8. Revelation 5, 8 through 11. Somebody write it in. Thank you, Rebecca. I'll get to that in a minute, Roger. Thank you for the question. Revelation 5, look at this, 8 through 10. Now watch. I'm giving you words to say to go to war so you don't have that other battle anymore. See, as soon as you learn you're victorious, you'll never lose another battle to the enemy. You still have to fight. Quit thinking that there's a place in your Christian life where you don't have to fight. There ain't a man or woman of God alive, I don't care who they are or what level you think they're at, that isn't having to fight every single day just to live. Well, watch. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are bottled up in heaven. 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood." Say this: I have been redeemed to God by the blood of Jesus. The word redeem means bought back. It's a financial term. Redemption. I like how Dr. Bill Winston says it. Have you ever taken anything to the pawn shop to get some money? And then they're going to hold it, and then you'll come back and pay them. And if you don't, then they sell it and get their money. Well, what is that slip called that they give you? It's called a redemption slip. You come back in the pawn shop, you want that tool, that ring, that jewelry, whatever it is, you want it back, and they give you a redemption slip that says you must pay this price to redeem, buy back that which you borrowed money against. I was praying to God about money. And he said to me, if you don't learn to use the blood of Jesus about your finances, you're never going to win the battle of lack. And I'm like, you're going to have to show me some verses on that, because I've always been careful that I don't use the blood of Jesus improperly. You don't walk around using the blood of Jesus on the dandelions in your yard. You know, pick them and eat them.
Amen.
All right. But I'm like, wow. And so then he gave me this verse right here. Look at verse 10. And he has made us kings and priests to our God, and we will reign on this earth. Now, the kings and the priests are earthly positions. And we're going to reign. That is a ruling, reigning, political position on the earth. So yes, he redeemed us so we can go to heaven, but we're coming back to this earth to rule and reign with Jesus. So you and I got to learn to use the blood of Jesus properly in our finances to stop the lack and the things breaking and things falling apart. The blood of Jesus does that. I don't know, Pastor. You shouldn't do it. God made Jesus suffer all of that so he could redeem us. That's a financial term. Well, there's the 92nd lady. I haven't heard her in a long time. And stop it. Don't be making me jump like that. So you got to get this verse in you. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What's it mean? He bought me back. There's nothing you can do to earn that redemption. All you can do is receive it. And all you can do is receive it. And then enjoy it, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Now, so, Pastor, how do I do this? You've given me so many verses tonight. Well, tonight's really a night about angels. So this is a good one to listen to again. Come back and go through the YouTube video and draw those verses out about the angels. okay? And then get them on a piece of paper, put them on one of these note cards, write them in your phone, in your notepad, whatever process you use, and start speaking that out loud about yourself.
Yeah.
Now watch. Let's just do this real quick. You know what? I can do this. I got longer than 10 seconds. Now quit putting a limit on me. I'm going to share my screen. Watch this. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. What does the Bible actually say about redemption? I can't make this any larger, but it's okay. You can come back and you can look at the screen a little more up.
Up closer.
I'm going to put in here redeemed blood. You can see right up here where my mouse is, my cursor, my pointer. I'm going to say cursor. What's that all about? Yeah. So I'm going to put the two words in, redeemed and blood. This is an e-sword or my sword. Whoops. Somewhere I got to hit enter. Oh, just hit the enter button. All right. Check it out. Deuteronomy 21:8. I'm in the New King James Version. So let's read it. Provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel. Look at this. Whom you have redeemed. And do not lay innocent blood to charge of your people Israel. And atonement shall be provided on behalf for the blood. God's showing you redemption through the blood and atonement, which is what's the definition of atonement? At one with God. The blood atones. It pays the price, and it makes you at one with God. Revelation 5:9, we just read it. We sang a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll, open it, see it. For you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Now, so let's take the word blood out, and let's just use the word redeemed. Check that out. 59 times. The word redeemed is used in the Bible. And I'm going to click on the NT words here, and that stands for New Testament. 6 times in the New Testament, it says redeemed. Why are we doing this, Pastor? Because until you actually get these verses put down inside of your heart, you won't understand redemption. You're not going to have to speak these verses every day for the rest of your life, but it's okay if you had to actually live it out. Look at Galatians 3:6-30. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus took the curse so you won't be cursed. Jesus redeemed you, bought you back from the curse of the law. Let's look at the next one. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver, gold, or cash at the pawn shop, from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Want to say it? I'm redeemed by the blood.
I'm redeemed by the blood.
Yes, you am. Yes, you am. Now, you can go back up here to the search, and you can take the ED off the end of it and just have the word redeem. And in the New Testament, there's three of those verses. Galatians 4:5, to redeem those who are under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. Want to say it with me? I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I've been adopted into the family. And why? Look at this next verse. I could literally sit here and study tonight until I just fall asleep and my head goes boing, boing, and I just lay there. I just love this. Look at Titus 2:14. Who gave himself, wait, let me just put it here so you can see it. Who gave himself for us. He just gave himself for us. That he might redeem us, look at this, from every lawless deed. Not a little devil, do you? Every single one of them. It doesn't matter what you've done. He redeemed you. He bought you back with his blood. And look at what it says. Look at this. And he did it so that he can purify for himself his own special people. The only reason you're able to be redeemed is Jesus did it for himself because he wanted his own special people. It's so crazy. Because people in the world, they won't listen. And the church has preached hellfire and brimstone, man, so long that the only thing they do is try to scare them into God. And you can't scare somebody into this. You got to show them the reality of who God is.
Amen.
I just showed you right in Eastward how to search up the word redeem. And here's the cool thing. You might say, Pastor, how am I ever going to find this on this video? Will you go back and put a timestamp in? When this video is done, you'll be done and say, well, it's communion took about 22 minutes, and we'll go back another 15 minutes beside that. And then you just start sliding that little red dot on the YouTube video until you start talking about redemption. And then you just stop, you take that timestamp, take it down and put it in the comment and write, he started teaching about redemption. The next time you come back, all you got to do is click them four little blue numbers. And you're right back to this spot in the message. Wow. Don't you just love this? I love to share the word of God. I really do. Thoroughly enjoy this. But I don't want you to just come to just listen. I don't want you to do this just because I'm bored. I don't know what to do, Pastor. No, come here to get the revelation of what God has already done in your life. That's what you've got to do. And your life will change. Now, all right. That's exactly what you're doing, Roger. By the blood of Jesus, then rebuke what's being attacking you. Yeah, rebuke it. Because it's not you. I believe the program is Angels on the Earth, or it's called Angels Helping. I got a what? Oh, that. You can't see what I see? Well, open your eyes. Hallelujah. All right. Well, Father, wow, what you have done for us in our lives. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of each of these people. If you need healing in your body, just reach your hands up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. That's amazing. I feel the heat of God just flowing right out of my hand. Put it on my own eyes. I have eyes to see, ears to hear, no damage. Put them on your face. Put them on your teeth if you need new teeth or gums. Put them on your eyes. Just receive this manifest presence of God. I can feel it. I can feel the heat of God flowing in my hands. Just receive it. Not me. You're not receiving me. You're receiving the power of God that's just flowing through me. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you've never prayed in the spirit, just receive it right now. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can tell somebody just got it. I saw it happen. I can see him sitting in the chair like, oh, I love it. I just love it. Receive Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, hallelujah. What a name. Thank you, Father. Now, this is the time when we receive communion. And oh, my. Glory be to God. I got to learn that song. I love your presence. But that's the only part I know.
That's just, that is it, isn't it?
No, it's a whole song. Ready? Dr. Winston, have your people sing this song tomorrow so we can hear it and get the whole song. What's the name of that singer? God bless it. Worship leader.
Alicia.
Anyways.
Alicia.
Thank you, Father, for good people that sing good worship. So here's how we do this. my goodness, we got God in the house tonight. Thank you, Father. You're always in this place. He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And it's really true. And he's about to give me sleep. Here we go. This is how we do it. We're going to read the verses. And then we'll pray the prayer of salvation. And then we'll give you a couple minutes of instruction. We'll bless our elements, and then we receive it. That's how we do it. That's not how you have to do it. We're not right, and the rest of the world wrong. It's just how he showed us to do it here. And it's powerful. Look at all these papers I got in my Bible. I'm serious about it now. It's like pictures of my kids, canceled checks, bookmarks. First Corinthians chapter 11. want to encourage you to get really serious about getting the Word of God inside of you. 2015, was it 15 or 16 when we read 1 Corinthians 2 every day? 16? 2016, at the beginning of the year, he told me to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And I'm going to tell you something. That was a challenge to do it every day. But you know what? About 2 months into it, the revelation began to flow immensely from that set of verses. And so, thank you, Jesus, for it. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, here's the process. Let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4, 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is right here, right now, today, so are we in this world. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation now, and we want you to pray it with us. I'm getting ready to have it up on the screen so you can see it. We've almost got it up on the screen where you can see it. Just be patient just a little bit longer, and you'll have it up on the screen where you can see it. There we go. Now, I like to share it this way because that way everybody has the ability, to see and say the same words and speak them right out loud yourself. So here we go. Pray this prayer with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and just say, I receive you, Jesus, into
my life.
I receive all of your grace and your mercy, all of your love and your righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me, I am now a new creation, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life.
Every day,
I surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day.
In
Jesus'
name.
Amen. I pray. Amen. In name, pray I, Jesus. Welcome to the family of God. Says pause and shout. Hallelujah. Glad to have you in the family. It's the greatest prayer that you could ever pray. Why? Because you just got totally born again. You were just made into a new creation. All of your sins right there, wiped away forever. All of Jesus' righteousness is now being installed inside your being. And that's why people say, man, Pastor, I can't, something's going on. What is it? Well, what's going on is that you are being filled with God Almighty right now. How cool is that? Stay with me. I'm being filled with God Almighty. See, now all of a sudden, we're not talking about joining the church or, you know, whatever all that stuff is. Somewhere I got a video. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, just came to live on the inside. And our place, that's why we have it right in the prayer. Surround me with good people. It will help me know how to walk with God. That's who we are. We'll help you know how to walk with God. So stick with us. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. It doesn't do anything for us. I don't get paid for it. It just helps you stay connected. Because we got 1,000 videos. It's all about walking with God. And Brother Keith Moore, I like how he said, when it's free, there's no excuse. Now you get to have what's important. And so my email address is there. Send me an email. Ask me a question. Listen, you might think 10,000 people have already asked me that question. They may have asked me that question. But it doesn't matter. You ask it. Because this time when we give an answer, it'll be different than the last time. And everybody will be like, whoa. And you'll hear people say, man, Pastor, you've answered that question 25 times. And we'll all look and say, and 25 times he's given us an answer.
Amen.
He's given us an answer. And so, thank God for it. Now, we're going to receive the communion on this night. So get you some grape juice and bread. Get you some bread and water, whatever you got. And Jesus took the whole Passover feast, took a whole day for them to do, and he put it in this. And then he said to them, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Passover was once a year. They only got to be free from their sins one day a year. You and I get to enjoy this anytime we want to. Now, I recommend you do it every day. You can find these words right on the internet, on our website, sandajcowell.com. It'll be a blessing to you. Ready? Pray this prayer. Whoops. Guess I got it right here on the screen. Done. Here we go. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive the elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit,
in my
soul,
in
my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your broken body, now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. You endured the cross, despising the shame. Thank you. And now, I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace,
where I find
mercy, grace, and help
for my assignment,
my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. Let's receive. Now, thank you, Lord.
Franklin or any other.
Just checking to see what it looked like over here. Sister Phyllis, we miss you. We call you blessed. We know you're bunking a biker, so you're, or 50. So you got lots of noise. But we love you, and we call you and your family blessed in Jesus' mighty name. So let's read our closing verses. You read Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. And I've already got Job marked. That was already there once to me. So I think you should probably hurry up and get over there to the other spot.
Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. You can get that on share screen.
Okay, thank you.
For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man.
Amen.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I love that statement. And now, Job 33:14. For God may speak in one way or in another, and yet man does not perceive it. However, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men. Thank you, Jesus. And he seals their instruction inside of them. Thank you, Jesus. In order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Verse 25, his flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he, God, will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. Well, that's it for tonight. Until we see you again, this is what we say. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.